Vielen Dank.
Thank you very much. So for the next round about 50 minutes, I have a talk and a reading. So I will tell you something, but I will also read from our book, Educate and Intervene, the NSU Complex and the Court Case in Munich. But first of all, who are we? So NSU Watch is a federal... a countrywide union of society, civil societies, and we band together to work on the NSU complex and to watch them, and we decided to work along the authorities and to watch the authorities and also to evaluate it. So we watched the court case, we watched the hearings in the parliament, and then over the years our work expanded to further cases of right-wing terror and further court cases and hearings, and we are still watching all of those. Also the court case against Walter Lübcke and against Ahmed E. in Frankfurt and Magdeburg, and the court case for the anti-Semitic attack in Halle and Wiedersdorf. So there were a lot of attacks in Germany. Also in Berlin, there was an attack, and we are also watching that. So it was mentioned before that it's not my first talk here at the CCC, but pre-pandemic I already had two of those. I was blessed to have two talks, and this one is basically the third in a row. So there were the foundations, the content foundations, and today there's the step, what can we learn from that for our actions? Who doesn't know the talks, no problem, of course, the foundational ideas I will mention again. But you can also review or advertisement, and I will repeat this often. You can also read our book, and at our publisher, you can also order it. So I think that we have a few answers to how to fight right-wing terror. But of course, that is a big headline, together against right-wing terror. But how? There is no ideal solution, not big answer that I can give you. But there are a lot of small answers. And it's, of course, a common task or a shared task to find more solutions. And we should also find take consequences from the terror. But let's start at the beginning. So how do we think it should be done at NSU Watch? So NSU is the National Socialist Underground. We as an initiative did not want to leave the prerogative of interpretation to the authorities and tried to, with the NSU Watch, strengthen extra-parliamentary clarification and analysis. The experiences and views of people affected by this racism must be given more space in the debate, because ultimately it was and still is the societal racism that incites the perpetrators and influences the way the authorities work. And the legal and parliamentary and media investigation, in our opinion, the loss of solidarity between large sections of society has to be regarded. Social and official racism in the investigations and the denial of neo-Nazi terrorism in the highest political offices are reviewed. But it also has to be an unmasking of ourselves, because even we believed the official reports more than the reality, because we believed because the possibility of that division of labor between neo-Nazi self-empowerment and the state seemed far-fetched. So we are re-evaluating our thoughts and views. So in that context, this book and also the book will report on the attempts to strengthen our anti-racist and anti-fascist stance in the investigation of the complex. We hope that others who want to intervene practically against the ever louder racist hatred can also benefit from our experiences and feel encouraged to build up anti-fascist structures in the long term. So the need for this practicality is always part of our discussions. And who isn't part of it yet, this is a great moment to become active in anti-fascist movements. And that's why we put that at the beginning. So in the first talk, 2018, I put the basic enlightenments that we had in connection with the NSU that came up with our work, because we were wondering, well, the NSU between 1999 and 2007, they killed 19 people, 9 of those for racist reasons, and they had 3 explosive terror attacks and more. And why did the NSU succeed with this series of attacks, and why weren't they stopped? And why was the NSU in 2011 unveiled themselves and wasn't stopped by any societal actor? Well, the answer is a combination of societal factors that we want to illustrate with this onion, if you will. And that includes the sentence that's written there: we know enough to draw consequences. I know the NSU complex and other right-wing terror complexes, it's very, as the name implies, very complex, so it's not done. But maybe we will not find answers to all those questions, but we still have to take action. And there have to be consequences, and we have to take action. So in short, it worked like that. Neo-Nazis were killing. That's very obvious. So neo-Nazis were organizing, but also those who were not organized with a very strong worldview. They tend to be aggressive and tend to be violent, and they have to be kept from that. Right-wing ideology is always moving towards discrimination, violence, and murders. It's just part of the ideology, and everyone else has to stop them. With the NSU, that failed. So the next ring, the police forces never caught them, and after the murders, they weren't investigating to the right, but were investigating quite a racist matter. So it was institutional racism, and a lot of work was done on that, and a lot of hearings from joint plaintiffs, for example. And the social security could have asked or questioned these messages, because police reports always should be questioned, but that didn't happen. It doesn't happen enough nowadays. Instead, there were reports by the papers about the relatives, and they were thinking about, well, maybe there was a racist background, but not really a right wing. And in the society and in the media, it didn't look different. Everybody knew about it, but nobody criticized the racist reporting, because it can be racist without everyone knowing that it was Nazis. And nobody even thought about, well, maybe it could be Nazis. Everyone thought, well, probably it was other foreigners killing the foreigners. And that was the idea. So that would have been the part of anti-fascists. But even that didn't happen. Even the left-wing people didn't address this. And the rest of the society, with the widely circulated right-wing ideology that carried this murder series, of course. And there were always these fantasies of an Islamization of the Western countries, and a lot of media caught that, and of course right-wing violence is encouraged by that and enables them to remain hidden, because if people with a migration background are killed, then people just read from racist police reportings and think, well, yeah, that's probably going to be right. So if racism is a carrying element here, then that's an issue and that's the outering here. So that's the short overview. And the good news is we know that that's how it worked, that it's an interplay of the whole society. So we can take a different role when it's about right-wing terror. We can, more concretely, work at every point here. With the Nazis, with the neo-Nazis, there are practices that are anti-fascist. So there are already ideas how to attack at each of these points, but you also can make up your own. So you can, and many initiatives did that in the last years, work on the history of right-wing terror. You can research neo-Nazi structures and unveil them and take action, become active in your own quarter, in your own part of the city. You can also do researches in the media. And you have to really think about the ideology and how right-wing terror works. Often it's simplified into, well, the murderer was full of hatred and that's why he did it. But if you really want to develop something against right-wing terror, then this approach will not be enough. You have to understand how it works to really tackle it effectively, to recognize it effectively, and to counter it effectively. So that is one very important point that will return later. Really think about and work with how right-wing ideologies work. So anti-queer, anti-Islam, racism, anti-Semitic, to recognize it early.
And then you can look at the police, and it has to be done. People are looking at institutional racism beyond the NSU complex, which is also important, obviously. And there's a lot of criticism for police, which is correct. There has to be a lot more pressure. The criticism of police in Germany, but probably worldwide, is always rejected. But the institutional racism exists. The racist structures in police have been quite obvious in the last years, and it's important to be active in this field as well. What does that mean? If you have racist controls, people being checked racistly, then you have to intervene. It happened just a few days ago in Mannheim. One person died during a police raid. And it's not enough to trust a police report that there was some threats, but you have to look what actually happened, wait for more journalistic research, and maybe conduct some research yourself. But, you know, stay active, create some... go to some rally. It needs to grow. The initiative Solidarity with Mohammed forced a court case against five policemen that shot Mohammed Tramin in 2015. And police tried to subvert that, but it didn't not succeed. So just going back one step, rallies after right-wing attacks, after right-wing terror are very important. Solidarity with the people affected to show that there's a possible right-wing background. All those are very important practices during the last years and have to be continued. How to know that it's right-wing terror, you have to look at the people that are victims, and because the selection of victims is racist. And there's a lot of interaction on social media when these kinds of attacks happen, and you can also contribute there, and you can continue the journalistic research. And there's obviously queer, anti-queer media, and you can criticize that. We can also create a public opinion that shows that this exists, and you can also keep informed, try to in the media, police reports, they are not being questioned in most of the cases. So you need to criticize that, and you can also subscribe to a left-wing media. And it's also a possible way to support that and stay informed. You can start with society, you can start with yourself. We all are in a racist, anti-Semitic, anti-queer, we are raised in a world like that, and the danger to be part of that discourse is high. So once you recognize that, you should try to stop, first of all. That's it's important how you deal with that and not actually contribute and stop others from doing it. And that's important because there are right-wing mobilizations, right-wing narratives. Those are empowered, that are ready to commit to right-wing violence and right-wing terror. So it depends on what you expect of yourself, but I don't want to be part of that. So it's very important to reflect on your own behavior there. And there's also other societal points of interest. We need to learn from the NSU complex, and the part that resulted in most consequences in the civil society, you realize the consequences from the NSU complex are taken much more seriously than when with the authorities and with the politics. But that means you can find people to create together and be active together there. And the criticism of the Secret Service is very important as well, obviously. And we want to abolish the Verfassungsschutz, the Secret Service. But when we talk about the real world, it's obviously that we need to create pressure. What do the intelligence community do? What do the authorities do? That takes a lot of effort, obviously, but there's small success events, and if you want to be successful, then the other points are maybe something to look for first. But you can obviously do all of these things at once. And the racism, just one example of all the right-wing ideologies. I've already told you how they work. You need to oppose them. They need to be pushed back. They are the basis for right-wing terror. They are basis for the AfD political success. They are the basis for the changed immigration laws. All of these right-wing ideologies are part of society, and we need to push them back together. And you need to understand them first to do that. That's the point where you have to be active. And there are several ways to deal with that. What I don't want to do is give you some sort of best practice or tell you which the best practice is. There's obviously everyone has different ideas, different preferences, what you want to do, and we can't say everybody needs to watch court cases, right-wing terror, and then everything else that also needs to be done is lacking. And you end up doing something that you maybe don't even like. So it's important to create your own ideas with that, and it's possible as well. So there's a lot of initiatives. These are just examples from the last years. These have done that. They took the initiative. They got together to create consequences from the NSU complex. They create networks of solidarity, and we have something in our book about this. This is the next excerpt from our book. Since 2011, groups and initiatives have emerged across Germany whose work and practice clearly reflects knowledge of the NSU complex, even if they may not be working directly on the topic. This includes the demand that every murder of and every attack against people who may have been affected by right-wing violence should be considered a right-wing attack until the opposite is proven. In 2012, for example, the initiative for the solution of the murder of Burak Bektaş came together in Berlin. Burak Bektaş was shot dead on an open street in Berlin-Neukölln on April 5th, 2012. Many memorial initiatives have also come together to bring victims of right-wing violence back into the collective memory and to fight for remembrance and clarification, often together with relatives and survivors. The joint plaintiffs, critical journalists, committed members of parliament, activists, anti-fascists, NSU Watch. Since 2011, we have all acquired knowledge about the NSU complex, neo-Nazis, right-wing terror, racism, the police, the domestic secret service, and last but not least, German society, which even a devastating verdict in the NSU trial cannot undo. Not everyone who is active against right-wing terror needs all of this knowledge. We can start earlier. We have tried in the book to write a lot of the basis for an anti-fascist practice, and you don't need to know every document, every day of every court case. Don't be intimidated by all of this information. But work obviously is necessary. I don't want to hide that, but I know that this complex can be quite intimidating, but try not to be intimidated.
The next step, we did talk about other right-wing terror complexes. We and others have researched the history of right-wing terror in Germany. There have been a lot of anti-fascist initiatives for that, and we found some things that are also important for anti-fascist practice or practice against right-wing terror. These continuities I'll talk about later. These are also in the book, but here's another excerpt for that, and we remain convinced that the various anti-fascist and anti-racist practices that have emerged since the NSU exposed itself, some of which have been rediscovered or increasingly being used, are useful. As anti-fascists, we have yet to reach the point where we can foresee and then prevent imminent acts. But the analysis of recent years already allow for more general and sometimes more precise warnings as to which political movements and social discourses can give rise to right-wing terror. We know better and better how right-wing terror works. With our current knowledge, we can already demand social consequences, such as the disarmament and dismantling of right-wing networks or, more generally, the suppression of extreme right-wing ideologies. So what we see is there's a continuity of right-wing terror before and after 1945. The continuity would mean not only that there has been right-wing terror the whole time, but also that the cases have similarities. There are different continuity lines. There are no surprising right-wing attacks, like in politics or media, just saying these are singular perpetrators, and it's not surprising or something new. There's a continuity, and we want to attack this continuity, we should attack this continuity, and these lines can be worked on. And the main continuity is conjunction, which means right-wing terror is following some kind of societal logic, which means whenever there's a right-wing mobilization with mimetic right-wing narratives, which we've seen nowadays, like right-wing propaganda on every societal level, political, personal, on the streets, and so on and so far. Every time that is strong, we can see that people will be empowered to use this propaganda that is already violence and use that in physical violence. And we can warn against this kind of right-wing terror. We can see right-wing mobilizations and terror. Here we are at the right-wing ideologies again that we have to work on. Why? Because all these movements like Pegida, the right-wing solidarity in Chemnitz 2018, or anti-COVID idiots, so people who said, oh, these people who look very normal, how can they be right-wing? And people who know about this right-wing ideology, they could see, yes, they can be right-wing, we recognize them on their contents, on what they are saying, on their rallies, their signs, on the actors they have at their rallies, and what kind of people are joining them. So when people from the NSU region walks with anti-corona idiots, then it's probably racist or anti-Semitic, and we don't really have to discuss that. They don't look like Nazis. But we have to stand against these movements, because the more space they get, the more they are on the streets, the more they can network and empower each other, and the greater the chance of right-wing terror. And we have warned against this kind of right-wing terror, but we couldn't stop it. So all the terror attacks after, or a lot of the right-wing terror attacks after NSU followed this logic. The attack at the Olympia shopping center in Munich 2016 follows the rise of the AfD, the right-wing mobilization in the years before that, the murder of Walter Lübcke, the attack on Halle and Hanau. All these perpetrators have been empowered by the racist right-wing mobilizations of the years before. There can be some distance there, and there have been multiple murders from the milieu of people who don't think Corona was real. And you have to stand against these movements, and you can't wait for all of society to have a consent on whether that's a right-wing movement or not. Moments later, after all the actors have been in all kinds of fucking talk shows. So you have to stop that before it happens. We have also looked into structures of enabling structures. So that's not only neo-Nazi networks to do right-wing terror. What future right-wing terrorists will need is their directly connections, personal connections. So their personal connections can also already be an enabling structure. They have right-wing colleagues where that kind of opinion is just the mainstream, and one of them is ready to go and be violent or do a terror attack. We learned that from the process on the murder of Walter Lübcke. The perpetrator didn't need comrades. He went to Pegida, was in Chemnitz 2018. He was with the Shooting Guild, and everyone was of the same opinion. Nobody stood against him. And that is this enabling structure that we're talking about. And these enabling structures are very low level. If you're ready, if you want to find right-wing agreement, you just have to go out in the internet and society, and you will get it, and you have to see it, you have to take it seriously, and you have to stand against it and speak up when you see something like that. And I know that it's not always easy. It can also have massive consequences. There can be no illusions there, but still it's important that this right-wing foundational noise has to be disturbed so these perpetrators don't feel empowered. Oh, yes. So there's the next point of text about that, because exactly this is already happening. This practice is not something I invented for this talk, hoping that people will do that, but of course that is something that is already happening and is being done, which means pulling away right-wing terror's foundation in society. The false narrative about right-wing terror, which revolve around lone perpetrators or unpredictable events without social responsibility, for example, are being more vehemently opposed today. Right-wing terror and such trivializing and depolitizing narratives are countered by nationwide alliances of solidarity, also by and with relatives and victims. The voice is calling for social responsibility, addressing the widespread racism and anti-Semitism in society, and pointing out that right-wing ideology is often connected to the so-called center, are becoming louder. A larger part of the public is aware that there is a continuity of right-wing violence and terror, and that every attack could inspire others. The knowledge of this continuity, the reappraisal and visualization of the historical and social contexts, and learning from them are prerequisites for being able to stop right-wing terror in the future.
So, what does that mean? It means that this is already happening, as mentioned. But at the same time, it's not possible for everyone, and not everyone wants to spend the whole day with Nazi ideologies or Nazi structures, as necessary as it might be. And that's a hurdle. But good news, you don't really have to. Because when you are for a solidary society and you are against AfD and right-wing terror and all that, then just a solidary society is already taking away their foundation. And of course, this again is not for everyone, but I think what's important is that you work together with people who think like you, and you look for a topic that is that fits you. And that could be many things. It could be work against right, it could be anti-fascist work. There are many options. But it could also mean that the solidary and anti-fascist structures on the federal level or at a local community is supported. That could mean that you buy left-wing papers or the books, or you at least read the books and you get informed. But it could also mean that you work with the topics of solidarity, maybe lower rents, which is a big problem in many cities, and in a solidary society there should be living space for everyone. It could mean that you're organizing together with others a union fight, maybe a strike, or you are working for climate protection. You can show your social engagement in a lot of topics, and I think that's a good connection to the talk yesterday, New Hope, which maybe you already saw, or maybe you will see later in the at media.ccc.de. And all these activities are attacked from the right wing, even if they are not immediately against the right wing. And that's why it takes our solidarity and it needs alliances. But it has to be done. I know. It's a time where we quickly sit in front of social media and just get scared from because of the societal development. And this was a very hard year, and next year might be tough as well, because the AfD is getting stronger and stronger, and they are also pushing right-wing terror. But that's not our destiny, it's not a fate, because we as activists, as anti-fascists, we have a word to say to that. And this trade, this societal debate is not done. So we have to become active and to see that not everything that was fought for in the last decades is being taken away again, and that people who are affected by right-wing violence, they should be protected from that. And that's the task for the next year and the following years. And I really hope that everyone finds their point of activity, their topic, the people they want to become active with, and to try to really do this debate, to continue this debate and prevent that the debate ends with a right-wing win. And I think we have enough knowledge that we can collect and to turn into practice. And yeah, that's my call to action. And now let's go to Q&A.
Ja, wunderbar. Danke, Caro.
Thanks for listening to the English translation of Together Against Right-Wing Terror, but how? At 37C3, your translators were B, Sirenensang, and Tribut. We appreciate your feedback. Please send us an email at hello@c3lingo.org or use the C3T hashtag on Twitter. And we're starting with a question from Twitter.
Ja, vielen Dank.
So I'll start with the more critical question of the two, and is about the German domestic social security service intelligence. If we want to get rid of that, how? Who is going to protect our constitution? I'm adding the question, how is the coming election in Thuringia with the local department of the domestic intelligence service?
Well, So the domestic intelligence service, and that has shown before with all the NSU complexes, it's not part of the solution, and it's not really protecting the constitution, but it's part of the problem. It's enabling right-wing terror that shows again and again, and it's not preventing it. So this form of constitution protection has to be abolished and has to be replaced by civic structures that are then strengthened and that in turn prevent right-wing terror. And that's tried out, for example, in Thuringia, and it has to be put into practice on a firm foundation. And we also learned that one of the results was more money and more options to use to pay criminals as informants. And today I read it should be possible that informants are already declared guilty by a court when they are becoming informants. Well, if you want to commit a crime, then it's a good idea to be an informant for the Secret Service, because then you are safe from the police. It was, of course, told differently, but yeah, it shows that this Secret Service of the domestic Secret Service is not part of the solution. No matter what their promises are, nothing changed. Even 2018, before the NSU court case ended, the Bavarian domestic Secret Service wanted to use an NSU supporter as an informant, and she was later punished herself because she was preparing a terror act.
I hope that answers the question from the internet, and we are going to microphone one. Hi. Thank you very much for this talk and the clear words. You just talked about the upcoming elections. Do you have examples? What kind of actions, what kind of things we can look to get some examples, so we get a better intuition what you mean, what is helpful right now?
Well, I think it would make sense to, especially those who do not want the AfD to win. So the first reflex would be, even after years of this not working, to talk to right-wing people, to bring them back. And it might work, but mostly it doesn't. And so it's worth, it's lost energy. And a lot of people don't want these results. And to motivate those people, to get them to go to the streets, to get them to show that they don't want those results. And as mentioned, it could locally be worked on different topics and get together, for example, rents. So set your own topics against the right-wing propaganda of the AfD. So you have to see what kind of society do we want to live in, and what do we have to strengthen politically, and what options do we have? There are so many topics and so many issues that we as anti-fascists and solidary people could work on and should work on. And that is providing counter content to what the AfD is pushing. And of course, get together. And I still have hope that at many places where the AfD is very strong, where the propaganda is very strong, that there are still many people who are against it, who can barely stand it. And if you offer them, those people, an option to meet up, to network, and to oppose in a way, then it's very important as well, because I think that those spaces are often missing, and they are very important.
Am Mikro 2 bitte einmal.
Thank you for the very beautiful talk with the onion model. I have a very specific problem that I want to talk about. If you are contributing to the asocial media, especially Twitter or whatever it's called now, and you get a very strong feeling that these kind of media, and I've looked at YouTube and did some research, and there's an army of about 3,000 fascistic trolls, and they are really just flooding the asocial media with brown shit all day. And it doesn't matter with what kind of tweet or who writes into these kind of media, or if it's me or whoever, if there's a topic that is even adjacent to the fascists, you have these kind of assholes just, and they are telling you that AfD is the best thing in the world. What do we do?
Yeah, well, that's difficult.
Well, we could find these 3,000 and, well, something else, I don't know what.
Let's stick to what we can do. Well, in the social media, there is an enabling structure for right-wing terror and right-wing violence and shitstorms and so on. And the best option against that, well, there was the call for deplatforming, but after ex-Twitter was taken over by Elon Musk, it didn't work, obviously, because he got them all back. Now it's a right-wing hellhole. So we have to think about whether you want to be active on there or if you want to detract. So I think it's a very unsatisfying answer. Maybe others have better ideas or but I think we have to find a solution how to handle that. The same problem is on threats now, because obviously the algorithm encourages you to interact with those trolls, and of course you should block them, but the problem is that it's going viral, and on Twitter you don't have anyone to address anymore who will act accordingly. We can just hope that, well, maybe the platform will decline and marginalized. Yeah, we'll have to see. But I think we'll have to develop something together. But a really good idea is not there yet. But it's definitely something we have to find. But what's not working is to discuss things with those trolls. It's just costing energy. It's making them stronger. It's giving them a platform. It shouldn't be done. Block them, report them to the police, and that can work. But that's something we cannot do as much as it would be necessary. So it's an unsatisfying answer.
Not every answer has to be answered satisfyingly.
I don't think it's already lost, but we are in an important point. That it's really important to get active now. So a few years ago, it would have been easier. It would have needed less courage than it maybe needs now, but that's the way it is. And we can't just say, well, then the AfD is winning, then there is right-wing terror, there is right-wing violence, a lot of people are just pushed out. That's not something we can accept, and so we have to find a way to handle it, even if some of them, even if we don't know yet how to ideally do it. Together, if we do it together and organize, then hopefully there's a chance, and hopefully there are good ideas.
Apropos ideas, what's the next question? Okay, thank you. My question is also regarding activism, because activism always is in danger of creating a backslash to mobilize the other side. Just as an example, if you go and beat up Nazis, then it will also create a feeling of togetherness for the Nazis. And the first part of the question is, how much of that is a problem right now, and how do you recognize forms of activism that are just powerful?
Well, not every backlash has to be accepted as such. Of course, activism always can lead to backlashes, but this theory that it's the fault of activists, that the AfD, the rise of the AfD is the fault of activists, it's just plain wrong. Of course, there's this rumor that also can help keep people quiet. Well, it's societal. In society, it's just not well accepted to lay open what's going on in our country because, well, you are attacking your own people there, kind of. But the backlash debate isn't something we have to fight out because every backlash piece that the right wing is bringing up is taken seriously, and then it's dominating the headlines for days instead of the problems that are really existing that should be talked about. So the backlash should actually be delegitimized. So, and your activism has to be developed in a way that in theory and in practice you can defend because you really are behind it, where you can show yourself to other people why it makes sense, why you chose this way of activity. So as activist against right, it's more difficult than people who do right-wing propaganda. You can't choose the easy answers, but if you make it clear how the propaganda works and how solidarity can work, and are also ready to go into a discussion, then I think the backlash can be reduced. It's a lot of educational work, and that has to be done as well. So the content, the solidarity content, has to be accepted as well, and that acceptance has to be built up. And a lot of practices don't have a lot of backlash, but as soon as it's right-wing, then suddenly there is backlash. Even just a silent march, there is backlash because you are tarnishing the good name of the city. So basically, you just have to keep it in mind, and if you're not alone, then it's easier to take, and you have to work with it. But everything that changes anything will always have backlash.
We have a lot of questions here in the room, but I want to defer to the Signal Angel once more, because people on the internet don't have the opportunity to be here with us in the hall. So first of all, the beautiful question, your book, is it, can I buy it here on the Congress? No, just on the internet, at the Verbrecher Verlag.
Yeah, so the title again, Educate and Intervene, the NSU Complex and the Court Case in Munich, just in German. I didn't have enough to bring it here, so else I would have brought them.
So specifically regarding a grouping, when you realize they come together somewhere, how can you intervene to prevent that? Are we supposed to subvert chat groups, warn others? How do we deal with that?
Well, it's important that when you see something that is really pointing specifically to something going on, then you have to say something. You can make it public, you can ask others to make it public, you can ask journalists who work in this field to make it public. Yeah, you can go to the authorities, but it can be done, and with concrete threats, it's necessary. So, a lot of practices are real politics. And if there's a right-wing terror attack, and you can notice that, there were always indications, there were always hints, but nobody became active, and then the attacks happened. In Essen, it was different. A student was threatening a right-wing attack, and the other students went to the police. And the right-wing potential murderer could be stopped. So if you see something, you need to say something within structures where you have trust and can have trust. So journalists are there. And if worse comes to worse, go to the police.
A very short question from microphone one. It's a very short question. Thank you again. I noticed when I look around here in the hall or on Congress, it's mostly people with white-colored skin, and activism starts here. How is it possible, and how can we change it?
Well, I'm also not affected by racism or anti-Semitism, so I can't really answer this. But yeah, it is noticeable. And self-reflection is part of any anti-fascist practice and general solidarity practice. So I have to wonder, would people who are affected by right-wing ideology, would they like it here? If yeah, why? If no, why not? And how can we make it encourage? How can we encourage people who are affected to come here without tokenizing them? Because, yeah, I see you're not white. Don't you want to come to Congress? Because we need you. I think that's what happens quite often, and I don't think that's a good approach. But if you create a good space, then that news will spread, and then the Congress will change. But yes, that's noticeable for a few years. And maybe invite according speakers. So there are practices that are known, and there are structures who help with this and encourage this. So you have to become active to change it.
There might be something to do in a self-organized session, so I'm going to give it to microphone four. Short question, please. Yes. Do you think it's important for the solidary society to work, to have some tolerance and to accept differences? I noticed that we are criticizing each other within our groups, so we don't get to showing that we are against right-wing ideology.
Well, critiquing yourself and is always important, because so you should work together when you are fighting for a better world, but you have to also talk about your topics and discuss things and take care and invest work, and the solidarity alliances have to be kept, and you shouldn't easily say things that will destroy those alliances, but you should try to work together and to discuss how to stay together, how do we have to work with our topics, our contents, and it's a lot of work on trust is necessary, and a lot of work in general is necessary, and not everything can be tolerated, that is obvious. But there is a lot of work in alliances, and that work has to be invested to keep the alliances intact. But it needs a lot of self-reflection. How am I behaving? How are others behaving? And all those and all that work between people is necessary, has to be done.
And the last question from microphone two, very quickly, please. So you said earlier that one of the combining factors that the right-wing people have that act out the violence is that they did have support in their bubble. Is it known if this is local support or if this is overarching support? The NSU did murder across different groups. Is it the family group or is it other support?
It depends. It can be anything. All of those. So sometimes there's lone perpetrators. If they radicalized alone, they just noticed the societal situation. Maybe they networked over the internet. You can find those networkings and that background everywhere. It can be a local neo-Nazi network. It can be family. But that society, that mood in the society, that's really important and really it counts for so much. And if you can go to a right-wing forum in the internet and get encouragement there, then that's an issue. So I wouldn't say one thing is more important than the other. So right-wing ideology has to be pushed back in all layers of society, not just against right-wing terror, but to be able to live your life however you want in a different way without fear.
Be different without fear. This is part of the motto of Congress. If you have further questions, just go to Caro and ask her. Please don't come too close. Just be civilized. Thank you again, Caro. Thank you for your talk. Please, everyone listen to the NSU Watch podcast and buy her book, Caro Keller. Thanks a lot. And thanks a lot from the translation booth.